Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumatikos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, Jesus Showed Himself Alive by Appearing to Many Witnesses. I'm going to begin reading from Mark chapter 15, verse 10. Mark chapter 15, verse 10. Well, let me start at verse 9. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Verse 10 is very powerful and compelling verse, especially when one considers the efficacy, the power, and the love displayed during the public ministry of Jesus. They, that is, the chief priests, along with most of the Pharisees, and most certainly the irrational skeptics of that day, the Sadducees, and the political party, the Herodians, got together in order to destroy Jesus. But here is a politician, here is a veteran politician, who knows his area, who knows the history of Palestine, who knows the milieu in which he must govern. So, this is not his first encounter with this group of individuals. So, once again, verse 10, for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Envy is not equivalent to jealousy. Envy is a term which means to desire to make little or light of an individual and to seek to desire to make light of who and what that individual is, and even more so, the desire to overtake and replace that individual in every way. So this is a very telling sentence that has been inscribed for us so that we will understand the motive of these leaders in seeking to have Jesus arrested and putting him through those mock trials that were illegal, even according to their own statutes. His very trials were illegal. The witnesses, could not corroborate their stories. Their stories did not make sense. But they went ahead with their plan, and they had him crucified under Pilate. We are told in the gospel documents that Pilate's wife had come to him and pleaded with him to have nothing to do with Jesus. She told her husband that she had suffered many things in a dream because of him. So she tried to warn her husband about this event. Later on in history, we know that Pilate was removed from office, and that he committed suicide. And the scripture records for us the suicide of Judas of Iscariot. And so, verse 11 states that the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas. Pilate answered and said unto them, "What will you then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of Jews?" And they cried out, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And so there was no crime. There was nothing that they could come up with in order to support their insane demand, other than what is given us in verse 10. The chief priests, we know that as Pilate knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Jesus is handed over to the police, where used, we're told in verse 17, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They smote him on the head with a reed. In the Greek, the word "smote" is in the imperfect tense. That is, they kept on hitting this reed, and it spit upon him, and bowing their knees to worship him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Physical abuse, psychological abuse. Of this event, of the passion event, was horrific. Jesus is taken out, is crucified, he dies on the cross. Psalm 22 records what he felt as he hung there, and it begins, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was on the cross that Jesus was made sin for the world. He who knew no sin was made sin, that he might satisfy the outrage, justice, and holiness of God, in order to bring us to him that God can be, the wrath of God can be raised or set aside, that he may be just and the justifier of he, she who believes in Jesus. Jesus said, Tetelestai, it is finished. That one word in Greek, three words in English, meant a finished salvation. According to the book of Hebrews, when he finished his work of salvation, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. It is finished. But in the book of Acts, we see Jesus at the stoning of Stephen, again, railroaded, and again, hastily and summarily executed for his witness. We see Jesus stand. Stephen is the first martyr of the church, first one who would give his life in church history. This event is recorded in the book of Acts. And we read that there was a young Pharisee standing there, holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death. His name was Saul. Later, this one would become the great Apostle Paul. But Stephen gave his life because he preached the great message of salvation. Now, in Mark 16, a remarkable event takes place. In Mark 16, verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very large. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. The old English reads, affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, or be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Present indicative. Present tense and indicative means statement of fact. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled, or literally they were quaking with fear and amazed, neither said they anything to anyone. For they, again, they were afraid. Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Notice, he appeared first to Mary of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene, whom, and only Mark records this, he had cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with them as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And they did not believe the testimony. So this was very interesting. She knew in her heart that she had sinned and was removed. Verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now, Deuteronomy 19:15 has some very important information about witnesses. And the establishment of the of an event by witnesses, and how that is to, and how that is looked at from a position of scripture. But notice the language in verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form, and in the Greek it reads, in heteromorphe, in another form, in heteromorphe. Now, this is very interesting language. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul talks about the great kenosis, which some have called the self-emptying of Christ, which does not mean that he emptied himself of the attributes of deity. But for the purpose of the incarnation, he limited the expression or the exercise of the attributes of deity. It's called the kenosis. So even though he was in the morphe, that is the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And here we have the language in Hebrew, morphe. He appeared in another form unto two of them. What does this language mean? Verse 13, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they then. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at food, and upbraided them, that is, he chided them, he railed at them with their unbelief, their faithlessness, and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. The Greek uses the word sclerocardia. Scleros is a word that means, of course, hard, that which is hard. And cardia. And so we have this compound term in Greek. They had hard hearts. That is, hearts that were stubborn and obstinate. Now, there was the physical and empirical evidence of Jesus being seen. They were not caught up in a common or corporate form of hysteria. They had corporately seen him or some type of vision. And so the language that is used very skillfully by the writer to speak about post-resurrection appearances of Jesus is very deliberate. There was at this time the Gnostic heresies. And there were different levels of Gnosticism during this day. And so Divide is very careful in his language. And in the next show, I'm going to speak a little more about Gnosticism and their beliefs. But for what we're considering now, I want to be very careful about what the scripture tells us about the resurrection of Jesus. Now, in John chapter 20, we read in verse 3, that Peter therefore went forth, and another disciple, and came to the sepulchre. They ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and first came to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Peter, Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. Now notice the linen clothes, the cloths, were not in disarray. They were still wrapped together. Where Jesus had laid them. Verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place. So the forensic evidence is not just, and yet the body of Jesus is there. Remember the language. Anthropomorphic. He appeared unto them in another form. So we're led to see that the molecular structure of the resurrection body of Jesus decidedly different from his physical body that he had during his public ministry. The resurrection body moves on a different plane. Verse 8, then went in also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre. He saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must, and I love this word, it's one of my favorite Greek words, dei, D-E-I in Greek, which means, here it is translated must, that he must rise again from the dead. And dei is a very powerful word, only three letters, and it means it is necessary in the nature of the case. It is necessary in the nature of the case that he rise again from the dead. And so then the disciples went away again into their own home. Everything is new. God had closed what had happened before at the end of Jesus' great public ministry. Man had done his worst. They had gotten, or so they believed, they had gotten Jesus to the cross. They had gotten him crucified and is murdered. And that was the end of the story. But little did they know that this was a new beginning. And God was doing something totally new through Jesus. So a very powerful event has taken place in their midst. verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the doors were barred, where the disciples were assembled for fear, phobon, of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you, Irene, in Greek, shalom, in Hebrew. Now notice, they did not unlock the door. The doors were shut. They weren't going to open those doors. Jesus came and stood in their midst. Remember, he appeared unto them in another form. The resurrection body of Jesus is different. We see that he can appear and vanish before them at will. Their relationship to Jesus is now on a decidedly different, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, not his wrist. The nails were driven, those spikes, 5 to 7 inches long, through with a 3-inch diameter, were driven to his hands. Spear was driven to the side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Notice verse 20. He showed himself unto them, or he showed unto them his hands at his side, empirical evidence. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Set me even so am I you. Verse 26, and after 8 days again his disciples were with them, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Then he saith to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Thomas had said, in verse 25, Thomas said, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He was emphatic. And God showed him something marvelous. He appeared unto them. He was able to come and go at will. He was able to show himself to his disciples in order to release them from their doubt and their fear. He showed them irrefutable, empirical evidence about health. I will continue with this on our next show. This ministry is blessed with. Please go to JosiahRich.com and leave your tax deductible offering. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.